This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, 8 o'clock hour here of Brock and Salk, and it is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We're going to talk to John Morosi coming up in just a moment or two. He'll join us, talk a little baseball. John, of course, from MLB Network. And a lot going on in the game. Another nice win for the Mariners last night. A Wade LeBlanc gem, Brock, just like you draw it up when it all starts. When's the last time that guy gave up a run? He's been ridiculous.
Yeah, he's been real good.
You got to put that in the positive ledger for Jerry, don't you?
Yeah, three starts. He for the Mariners. He's built on every one of them. His pitch count has come up.
16 innings,
pitched,
right?
He's pitched some of his
15 one runs.
Yeah, best baseball here with the Mariners.
Yeah,
and doesn't he just look like Jamie Moyer? Now he is bigger. He's 6'3",
but just the style.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and for some reason it just works here. I mean, he's been everywhere, right? He's Johnny Cash.
He's got cool guy hair. Do you see him interviewed after the game? He's kind of got cool guy hair.
And he's so cool, calm, collected. Seems like everybody seems to gravitate towards him, like in the clubhouse, like likes to be around him.
Which is odd, because it doesn't seem like he says much in a very animated way.
His 18
sometimes, game yeah, is, that's all you need.
Devoid of energy as you could imagine. Just a flatline dude out there.
But that's what they teach you. You don't get too up, you don't get too down.
True.
I mean, that's baseball.
Are you going through how many teams he's played for?
Yeah, there's a lot of
it's
them.
It's virtually all
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of jerseys there.
But don't you got to give, look, I know people get on Jerry DePoto for some of the deals he's made, and for good reason. There's a couple of clunkers in there for sure. But when guys like this work out, you got to give him some credit for that too. And yesterday's a good example of a really good Jerry DePoto day. D. Gordon comes around and scores the winning run on a Gene Segura bunt, and those are two guys that he specifically targeted. Wade LeBlanc goes six shutout innings, and then Pazos, who we traded for, pitches the seventh. Vincent, who we traded for, pitches the eighth. Mm-hmm. And Diaz, who we converted to being a closer, finishes it out. I mean, that's a really good day
in
the ledger for Jerry DePoto.
Did they get on the plane last night? It's a Jerry day.
It's a Jerry day.
Versus a service
day. It's exactly right. Yeah. It's a good day for Jerry DePoto. Hey, let's bring John Morosi into the conversation. We do this every other week with him and generally at 9 o'clock, but he's off covering hockey. He's covering the Western Conference Finals, so we'll talk to John a little earlier today. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning from Winnipeg. Heading out to Vegas soon, but... Winnipeg's treating me very well, and this is a pretty fun sporting event to cover, guys. I got to tell you, and I know certainly a lot of excitement about the NHL in Seattle. So if the new Seattle franchise in a number of years can equal what Vegas is doing right now, it's going to be quite a story.
Well, Vegas not even cool anymore now that you can essentially bet on sports anywhere. I mean, who cares about Las Vegas? That place is going to crumble now. There's nothing interesting about it. So enjoy it now while you can, John.
I still think there will be fun had in Las Vegas.
Did you have any fun? You're busy. Like, you're an important person when it comes to the baseball winter meetings. Did you have fun the year that it was in Vegas? Were you able to have fun that year?
No more fun than I do any other year. And if the question is, did I gamble or enjoy the sights? No. You know how the winter meetings are. I'll say this. The winter meetings could be held in the shadow of the Eiffel Tower, and I would not really be able to get out and enjoy the ambiance. You're basically walking around the same lobby for four or five days in a row, trying to find out what's going on. It's fun. It's exhausting, but it is sort of for the baseball punditry. It's kind of our Super Bowl. So I very much enjoy it. It's great, but it is somewhat exhausting no matter where you have it. And yes, for Las Vegas, I think I spent. Four or five straight days inside the Bellagio and did not play a single hand of blackjack.
Well, John Morosi of the MLB Network is with us here. If the Major League Baseball season is a mile, they just completed the first lap of it yesterday, the quarter pole. What do you make, what stands out through the first quarter of this Major League season to you, John?
Brock, I would say surprises in the National League with how well the Braves have played. I think that the overall competitiveness of the National League East is a bit of a surprise. I did not expect really the Braves or the Phillies to be this enduringly good. Now, I guess time will tell based on how things go in the second half, and the Nationals have played better this month than they did certainly in the month of April. So I would say that's maybe the one surprise, the way things look there. And I also would say this, that while I expected and anticipated certainly the Yankees and Red Sox would both be pretty good, I didn't really expect them to get back to this early 2000s level of being 1-2 with the two best records in the major leagues. And and have that feeling of dominance that they haven't really had collectively in a long time. This, when they most recently played, it was the first time since 2002 that they had the first and second best records in the majors while they were playing each other. So I think that was notable and maybe points toward a trend in that way. And I think also a big picture, maybe the Indians being on the downside, just 20-20 as a first place team. I think it's becoming clear to me, Brock, that we're going to have I think one wild card team out of the American League East, either the Red Sox or the Yankees, and then probably a two-way battle for whoever doesn't finish first in the American League West will be competing for that second spot.
John, you mentioned that you were in Winnipeg, which of course is in Canada. How much buzz was there about James Paxton's no-hitter? I assume everyone there was talking about it.
There was still a lot. You know, I love watching the Canadian sports channels here. Sportsnet does such a great job, and I was watching some of their coverage. And still, yeah, there's still a lot of excitement about the Big Maple, as he is known here, and in Seattle as well. I think the fact that he threw that no-hitter in Toronto was special. And certainly, I'll say this, there's a really an impressive renaissance, if you will, of Canadian pitching. Not just Paxton, but Mike Soroka, the young pitcher that was called up by the Braves. Nick Pivetta, of course, from BC out your way, and Cal Quantrill coming up, Paul Quantrill's son. So I would expect, as you know, I love talking about the World Baseball Classic, the Canadian rotation in 2021 should be very competitive indeed based on the way Paxton and his countrymen are pitching right now.
I want to see Paul Quantrill's son pitch to D. Gordon so they can have some sort of weird recreation of the 04 Yankee bullpen all pitching to each other.
It could happen. I guess the question will be, where D. Gordon is playing, right? We'll see how the Mariners figure out this their defensive situation going forward.
What would you do?
Cano, but who knows? Maybe D. moves to the infield. Well, you know, one note on that, I've been checking around. I think one name to watch in the Cano discussion is maybe Brandon Phillips, and he's a free agent. I talked to Brandon on the phone a couple weeks ago, and he's still very much wants to play, and we'll see if that opportunity presents itself in Seattle. A great veteran player. I've always enjoyed Brandon a lot, so I think he'd be a nice fit in the short-term situation there, or however long it ends up taking Robinson to come back. I think the Mariners are still trying to figure out exactly how long that's going to be.
What would you do?
What would I do? I would say this. I do think that bringing in someone like Phillips, and we're early enough in the year that the trade market really doesn't totally mature this early. At least I found that to be the case. You know, maybe you could find a second baseman to plug him in there for a short period of time. But I almost think Phillips makes more sense than going to the trade market, because Phillips likely would not be overly expensive, so you don't have to really sacrifice any of your tradable depth. And also, when you bring in someone like Phillips, you keep Motter and Romine in their supporting roles where they belong, and I think there is value in having that. Whereas if you bump everybody up, then maybe you're not getting the production you want from your second baseman, and also your sort of supporting cast and your super utility players are also stretched a little thin. So I actually think Phillips makes a ton of sense to me. I think that would be a smart play at this point in time. Probably won't cost him a lot of money, and preserves a lot of the prospect depth for maybe pursuing a starting pitcher at some point in time in June or July.
Yeah, John Morosi here with us with the MLB Network. Are you an injury expert as well, covering baseball? Do you have a pretty decent feel for?
I sometimes do. You know, I am not a physician, Brock. I'm married to one, so sometimes an expertise that by marriage sometimes I try to appropriate. Then again, when I try to sound medical, yeah, my wife just looks at me and just kind of says, really?
Yeah,
really,
kind of like Boy Howdy looked at us. Yeah, and we tried to sing this morning. We got a very esteemed songwriter and singer on our show, and he just kind of poo-pooed it with Salk and I. But that's the way it goes. And I asked you that question because the fifth metacarpal, how big a deal is this with Robbie? He's going to see the specialist in Philadelphia today.
Right.
How significant an injury is this short-term and over the long-term of this season?
Right, Brock. I would be surprised if he is out for less than a month. I think that at the very minimum, it's a month. And I think you look at Bumgarner's been, I believe, a 2 month or so recovery timetable. Josh Harrison, I think, about 6 weeks. So I mean, this is I would be surprised if it's less than a month, and quite possibly, again, maybe it's up to 6 weeks. I mean, this is a pretty significant injury, and it's really, I feel awful for the organization and for Robbie as well, because this season has been going well, I think, and you look at this team as, I believe, a playoff contender. I think they've done it for long enough for us to say that, and yet you take this major bat out of the lineup, it just changes. I think it just changes the whole look of the lineup without his bat in there. And I think he's one of those players, Brock, that has an effect on those guys around him. So I think that the issues of production may well expand beyond whatever you're getting out of second base because of just how great he is. So I think we'll find out soon enough, but I would expect Jerry DePoto and company have to plan on being without their future Hall of Fame second baseman, in my opinion, here for the next 4 to probably 6 weeks.
John, one of the things we found out, John Morosa joining us here from MLB Network, one of the things we found out over time is that you can rebuild a bullpen during the course of a year, and we've seen the Mariners do it at times, seen plenty of teams do it. Based on what we've seen so far, Edwin Diaz has been phenomenal, James Pazos has been kind of entering into being a high-leverage guy, Nick Vincent's been a high-leverage guy for them, but with Juan Nicasio's struggles, Mark Zibchinski's struggles, and the guys who they've sort of tried in the low-leverage spots not really deserving of a whole lot more. What will be out there here in the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months for the Mariners to improve a bullpen that I will say misses David Phelps more than anybody thought when he went down?
Yeah, that's a really good point about Phelps. I think one team to watch, and it's probably, it may end up being a bit more out of the Mariners' price range to go get him, but I do think that the Royals are going to move some of their pieces. I think they're very clearly moving into a rebuilding mode, and Kelvin Herrera is going to be a big name. Now, I would expect he'll go to a place that's going to have him close, but we saw it last year, and I think one thing that we should watch closely with Jerry DePoto, we saw, for example, with the Nationals last year, they were going back and forth, and the price tag on relievers is so high that in the course of going back and forth between the Nationals and the A's about bullpen pieces, eventually it came around to saying, okay, for the Nationals, I'll give you these prospects that you want, but I don't want just Doolittle. It's got to be Doolittle and Madsen. So you wonder if, as you're mentioning all those different possibilities, Mike, that maybe, given the Mariners' needs, maybe it's a righty and a lefty, that you could envision a case where you give up more than just that one piece, that you actually give up, maybe two prospects, but you get two relievers back. So I think that to me is a situation that I would watch closely. And again, with the Royals in particular, they're a team with Herrera. We know, I think probably he is going to get moved somewhere. Brad Keller for them, I think a very underrated arm from the right side. I think he has one more possibility there. So I would pay very close attention there to the Royals as a possible trade fit on the bullpen piece.
Hey, John, last thing for me here. I just kind of have a good dudes list, right, in college football, especially where I travel, be it coaches or ADs, or even some of the players that you get to know over the years. D. Gordon is striking me 40 games into this thing is about as good a dude as we have had in a Mariners uniform. In fact, yesterday, post-game, here's about 35 seconds or so, and I don't know. I think it's about as good as it gets. I'd love your reaction to it as well.
I wasn't locked in all day, man. I had to lock it in for the guys and put a good at-bat together. I was able to get a good pitch to hit and got in scoring position. But it all starts with Segura doing his job. And that's how we got this win.
He gets the ball in play. How are you reading that play?
Honestly, if the third baseman would have crashed as hard as he did the first time, I was just going to steal the base. And he actually paid attention to me the second time. So, it's just, we got it done. We need to talk about Wade LeBlanc and how great he was. He was awesome for us. He pitched his behind off for us, and we was able to keep us close until we can get an A.
And that was D yesterday. Personable, insightful, deflecting everything, kind of like James mm-hmm. Paxton did with his no-hitter last week. I don't know if you heard any of his reaction. It was basically the same. D. Gordon known in baseball to be this good a dude?
He is. And Brock, he's been through a lot. I mean, he lost his mother when he was 6 years old. She was killed in a domestic violence situation when D was just six. And so he had to grow up very fast. He obviously grew up around a lot of major league clubhouses through his father. And so I think that he just has a lot of perspective. And certainly he had the adversity in Miami. He had a suspension there as well for himself. So I think he's been through a lot. And D has always seemed to me to be, no matter what he's gone through, he's happy to be at the ballpark. He is grateful to be at the ballpark. It's always been part of his life. But he has never, I never once, Brock, in my conversations with him over the years, and I've been lucky to talk to him a number of times, there's never been even a hint of, well, my dad pitched in the big leagues for a long time, was an all-star, and I'm entitled to be here. There was never any of that with D. So I think there's a real authentic joy. Of course, he went through losing his close friend Jose Fernandez a couple years ago in Miami as well. So he's been through a lot, and I think he has emerged through all that with a lot of joy and appreciation for what he's doing every day. Loves being around his teammates. I think if you talk to his teammates, and obviously you can just tell by the way he gives credit to other people, he's very other-centered. And I think he's grateful to be in the big leagues, even though he's obviously an all-star player himself. So I always enjoyed my time around D. And Brock, you're right on there, my friend. He's one of the great guys in the game, and happy to see his success there in Seattle.
So you're in Winnipeg. You're heading to Vegas. How's the series? How are you enjoying your little hiatus from baseball covering hockey?
Love it. I love it, Mike. And this, I'm lucky to work at MLB Network, and because of the cooperation there between the MLB Network and NHL Network, I sort of get to cover both sports. My job is still probably about 95% baseball, maybe 90% depending on the time of year. But I love hockey. It's in my blood from living in Michigan and just being around the people here. It's great. And there's something unique, and obviously hopefully the NHL is coming to Seattle here soon. But I would say to everybody, if you're a sports fan, to be at a playoff game in Canada is an experience. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in Montreal, which I've been lucky to see in the playoffs, here in Winnipeg, Vancouver once they get going again, it's special. Just the anthem is unique, and I love here in Winnipeg, Stacey Natras, the anthem singer, will actually stop singing in the middle, and the crowd just picks it up and sings the middle part of O Canada together, which is just, it's a pretty impressive and emotional moment of unity, and it always gives me the chills. I feel grateful to have a connection to Canada by living in a border state, as you guys do as well, and to be able to watch it on the CBC, the playoffs all the time, and then to see it in person is pretty special.
Yeah, I would say, having been to a playoff game in Montreal, one of the three best sports environments I've ever been in.
Wow. Incredible.
I would say the NFC Championship game I was at here, mm-hmm, between Seattle and Green Bay was right there.
Yep.
Being in Fenway for the ALCS in 04, and then after those two, I would probably put being in Montreal for a Bruins-Canadiens playoff game. First of all, the fans are insane. I mean, I hate them with the passion of a thousand suns, but they're insane, and they are as arrogant as Yankees fans. They're really similar. I mean, Yankees fans, every time there's a ball hit, even near the outfield, Yankees fans react like it's going to be a home run. And the Canadiens fans, anytime their team starts to rush up ice, even if it's like a 2-on-2 or a 4, even just like a regular, they have no numbers.
Right.
They cheer like they have a 2-on-1 break, and it's the most obnoxious. It is so obnoxious because it is God's destiny that they deserve to score a goal.
I love that. I love that, Mike. And what I'll say quickly on it,
but I hate it.
That in Canada, your identity is wrapped up in your team, similar to watching soccer in Europe. That is not just your team, it's your entire culture on the ice, and that's how it feels when you watch a hockey game in Canada.
It's awesome. John, thank you, man. Enjoy the rest of covering the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
All right, there you go. There is John Morosi of MLB Network filling in over at NHL Network, and he joins us on the Venue Kings Hotline.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome, right?
Man, he's got a joy for what he does. Right?
Yeah.
Just like D. Gordon there has got a joy to play the game and some of that grit and humility. Like, Morosi just had, you could just feel it. He has just a joy in doing his job.
I first met John years ago. This was the first winter meetings I ever went to, was in Orlando. I want to say it was 2006, 2007, right around there. And bear in mind, I was a reporter covering the Red Sox for a radio station that not more than 7 people listened to.
Okay.
We had a nice signal. It was like 15,000 watts. It faced directly towards Boston Harbor and did not in any way cover the city of Boston. It was like the one hole in our signal was Boston. And we were going up against this other station that is like the biggest sports radio station in the country, one of the top two at the time. And so nobody listened to our station at all. And I had no juice, and I was basically covering them for free. I made $10 an hour. Well, and most of the time I had to like not write down the hours I spent working.
No juice.
But I convinced them to let me go cover the winter meetings. And I went down there and I paid my own way. They wouldn't pay for it. So I paid my own way. I stayed with two other people in something called the Reedy Creek Inn, just outside of Disney World, which was like $29 a night and was probably overpriced at that rate. And I was a stringer, so I worked for stations around the country, just getting them sound and sending it for like $25 a pop, and just enough to cover my expenses of being down there for the week. I didn't know anybody. I had no idea what I was doing. I was the station was expecting me to like break news in Boston against like, you know, Peter Gammons and all these. It was like, what do you possibly think is going to occur? Like, well, Mike, we sent you down there. I'm like, no, you didn't. You allowed me to come. And so I met John, who at the time was just a reporter, for I think the Detroit Free Press. It was one of the two Detroit papers. He wasn't yet a big national guy. He wasn't working for Fox yet and all that. But he's just such a hardworking dude that you could tell he was going to be one of those Buster Olney, Jason Stark, John Heyman, in the group, you know, Ken Rosenthal, in that group of the great newsbreakers. And he has absolutely become that over the last few years. And why? Because while I was playing blackjack in Las Vegas, he wasn't. He was just sitting. And you got to understand how intense the winter meetings is for those reporters. Especially in the markets like Boston, New York, or the national guys. I mean, I won't give a name, but I saw a reporter bawling that they had been beaten a story. Just straight crying in Las Vegas, thinking they had been beat on the story, and they had. I mean, they had somebody else had scooped them, and they were crying and had to be comforted by
Did
their...
Did you console?
No, I walked right by. I wasn't a great fan of this person, so I just kind of walked on by. Right. But had to be consoled by the other members of their paper on their team and sort of, hey, it'll be okay. We work as a team. Wow. I mean, it is a really intense situation for them.
And that's why John was working. And you were playing.
Yeah, I didn't care. There was no pressure on me at that point. I was like, man, I'm paying my own way. It's nighttime, and I'm going to go do some gambling with Joe Madden, who would come by and drink red wine and gamble himself.
Yeah, you know what else struck me? Good story, by the way. You know what else struck me is you've been kind of spoiled, too. Oh, you know what? My three highlights are the 04 ALCS in Boston.
I've been around some cool stuff.
Oh, NFC Championship game. Oh, the Habitants and the you've been around some pretty cool stuff.
Doesn't that seem obnoxious, though, the way they would do that? Like they have this God-given right for a 2-on-1 rush. Like, come on. You don't get to score a goal every time.
What sounds obnoxious, how obnoxious you get with them.
Maybe.
I think that's about as much fun as
that. That roar sounds kind of exciting, at least to me as a casual hockey fan. It's like, all right, exciting. Here we go. Yeah. It's like in a boxing match when everyone starts just kind of coming to a fervor. People pounding each other in the corner. You can't, all right, here we go. Let's do it.
It's incredibly exciting when you're there. Honestly, I mean, I give them a lot of grief, but it is an incredible environment. Yep. And I will say that I honestly believe it affects the game. Because I think the officials make calls in their favor because of it. And B, I think that the defensemen and sometimes even the goalies think something's happening that's not happening.
Sure.
Like they see the rush and like, okay, just sort of a normal rush up ice and we've got numbers, it's totally fine. But the crowd loses their mind to the point where they start getting nervous and looking around like something's happening that's not supposed to be there.
Yep.
And I've always felt like it affects the game. I can't prove that, but it's always kind of been my theory.
Hey, by the way, one more thing there. And I asked John, I'm glad to hear some of the backstory on D and hear it from someone that's covered him as much as John Morosi's covered him. Doesn't that sound like an original Pete Carroll guy? Like in the early years, as you draw that up, there's grit. Overcoming what he had overcome in his background. There's some humility because he's failed in the past.
Yeah.
There is no entitlement, even though he's been around it. And then there is simply a joy to play.
I would
he
agree.
Loves to come play the game.
Yeah.
I mean, those things, I know every team looks for him, but that's what, you know, the championships that were won in this town, that's what it was built on with players like that. And, man, he has just been such a breath of fresh air.
A couple of other notes on that. One, just to clarify the story, because I was confused about this for a while, maybe other people are. So, yes, D. Gordon's mother was killed in a domestic violence situation when he was younger. He then went to go live with his father, Tom Gordon, who brought him around the country. Tom was not the person who killed him. They had been separated at that point, and it was another party, a third party, who she was with. Who killed her in that situation. So I was confused. I couldn't figure all that whole thing out until somebody finally explained.
Another
it to
side
me.
That D never advertises because he doesn't want any advertisement for it is his charity, which he created after that, which he helps kids, young people who have been in domestic violence situations, and it's pretty incredible. He does it with all his own money. He doesn't fundraise for it or anything, and he's very under the radar about that.
That's pretty cool. So those are a couple of other little notes on that. The other is, what do you think of the Brandon Phillips conversation? Are you intrigued by Brandon Phillips?
Yeah, I mean,
do you want to know part of it yesterday?
Yeah, I'd like to see Beckham get an opportunity. Obviously, a couple strikeouts yesterday and a couple moments you'd love to see him, you know, just for himself come through. But as you brought up and mentioned, he also made a good play in the eighth inning. He also is a pro. He's also been there and done it. Hit a ball hard at the end of the game. I'd like to see Gordon Beckham get a little stretch here, get a week or two. He's been in this culture. He's been here. They traded for him last year. He spent, you know, the spring with them. Versus a guy just totally from the outside. Get back on my opportunity and see what he can do.
All right, there is a great conversation about baseball with John Morosi. Jeff Passan will join us next Tuesday. You mentioned some of the best environments in sports. What about what we saw yesterday? Where does that rank? Next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com. I want the
top. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN, Seattle, 710sports.com. The app, of course, 710 Sports app. You can grab that and listen to us that way. And this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. I hope you are having yourself a good morning. Nice Mariner win yesterday in front of 43 people, I think was the final tally, in Minnesota on a rain makeup game in more miserable weather. In Minnesota, look, it's a nice win for them, and Wade LeBlanc gets credit, and give D. Gordon credit, and Gene Segura credit for finding a way to kind of get some energy on a night where the crowd certainly wasn't going to give you that that starting point. Mm-hmm. They found a way to scratch out a run. Diaz closes the door, and good for them. But hey, Minnesota, build a roof.
Yeah.
This is a brand new, it's like 3 years old. Build a roof.
Yeah.
How did you possibly build a stadium in Minnesota without a roof?
Yeah, good question.
How did that happen?
Good question.
Who allowed that to happen? Like, is this Bud Selig's last dying thing? Was like, yeah, make sure at the very least we don't have a roof in Minneapolis.
Right.
Why isn't there
a roof
there?
Has this been as problematic the last few years? It's not the first year with that stadium.
I don't know that we've had to play. I don't know that we've seen April games for the Mariners
been
there.
This bad. I'm just saying for them in Minnesota, it strikes me that this has been such a difficult year.
Right, but
in a lot of places in the Midwest in particular. Because usually, Mike, we're one of the slower ones. Right, to get summer weather.
Not this year.
It's usually July 5th.
AC cranked up last night. Thank you to the good folks at Brennan.
Nice,
cranked up
dude,
the AC.
Way to go.
Nice and cool on the Salk House.
But it's kind of dumb. Yeah, you're right.
It's dumb.
They obviously played in the dome for so many years, had enormous moments in that dome that just rocked. At least do a retractable. You know, you've seen more and more and more of that.
Who doesn't? Like, everybody has a retractable roof these days. Like, yeah. It costs nothing. You just build a retractable roof.
Yeah, it's like
it's an extra $100 million.
I know. What's it? Yeah, exactly.
It's like an extra $100 million.
Yes.
If you don't have an extra $100 million for your stadium in Minneapolis, then move the team.
Yeah, and they do.
I mean, of course you did.
Yeah.
Find a way to borrow an extra $100 million and put a retractable roof on there, because it's ridiculous to be out there having games snowed out and playing in the weather that they have the last couple of days. What I wanted to know is just how stupid is it? So I asked Howdy to put together a list of things that are stupid, and I thought we could debate which is stupider, not having a dome in Minnesota, or, Howdy, what kind of things do we have?
Oh, boy.
Buying big baller brand shoes.
All right, which is stupider, Rod? Buying big baller brand shoes,
yes,
or not having a dome?
Big baller brand shoes is
now, hold on,
stupider.
Do you mean buying the company or just buying a pair of the shoes?
The shoes.
For just
$450.
We talk about the GOAT here, the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan, and you running your mouth talking about you're going to beat him one-on-one. Why would you say something so blasphemous?
In my heyday,
blasphemous.
He would need help.
Really?
He's too small. His name is big, and y'all like, it was a 5-on-5 game. He good. One-on-one, I'm undefeated. Never lost.
Never lost.
I like that guy. He's got. I do.
You
got cojones, man.
You are a liar.
You don't find that entertaining?
A roof or that stupid comment you just said, which is dumber?
Which is dumber?
That stupid comment.
I don't know. I'm going to go roof. I disagree with you. It's just because I find him entertaining.
Which is dumber, not having a roof on a stadium in Minnesota, or believing your team will be in the NBA Finals if you live outside of Cleveland or Golden State?
Now, that's stupider. Having a roof or not having a roof is dumb. But to believe that your team, especially at the beginning of the year, believing that your team is going to be in the NBA Finals,
you
is just
bet,
outright stupid.
You want to bet a Daniels lunch?
On Boston?
I think Boston's going. You want to bet a Daniels lunch?
I'll bet a Daniels lunch.
Oh, what does Howdy have to do if he loses? He has to buy you lunch at Daniels?
No, I'm not going to
There's no way he has that money.
He's going to pressure wash my deck.
Oh.
I'll do it.
That's an interesting bet. Brock, you are
apparent.
Congratulations, Brock. You are dumber. You are dumber than not having a roof
right
in Minnesota, because you're going to bet on the Celtics.
Good.
Which is dumber, not having a roof in Minnesota or investing in a gold machine in your 20s?
It was a long time ago in my 20s when I invested $5,000 in this, what I thought was a gold machine. It was supposed to be able to get previously unminable gold out of rocks. And
it was shaped like a bong.
It was shaped like a bong.
And the proprietary technology was covered with foil.
Didn't you think?
Correct. All right, which was dumber? Not putting a dome in Minnesota or Jim Moore investing in the gold machine when he was in his 20s?
I must say the latter on that one.
You think Jim Moore was a bigger sucker than the people in Minnesota?
I think so.
So that's dumber?
I mean, you get
How do you guys feel on that one? That's a tight one for
me. Beautiful months in July, August, September, Minnesota. You love Minneapolis.
But you don't have to put the dome. I mean, how often do the Mariners use the dome at Safeco?
The roof?
Five, six times a year?
Yeah.
You don't have to use a roof that many more times to make it worthwhile.
Gold machine was dumb. Come on, Jim. Better.
What do you guys think? Which is dumber there?
I think that the roof is dumber.
I think so, too.
I think it's dumber.
Like, Jim just got taken by a huckster. Minnesota didn't build a roof on a stadium that they're going to play baseball in April and September and maybe one day October. Ridiculous.
But the gold machine, there was some upside to that risk. That was a value play.
Right.
You could see that maybe it would turn out well.
Agreed.
The no roof, there was no way that was ending.
No, it's just being cheap. All right, what's next?
Which is dumber, not having a roof in Minnesota or telling the cops you weren't drinking when they pull you over? You're just high, like Jeremy Lane said.
It's a good one. I wish we had audio of that. It's really too bad.
I think we might be able to. Stand by. We might be able to.
Really?
I think they released that video.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I haven't been drinking so much as I'm just high. Rock, which is dumber? Now, that one, you got to say, that one's affected by your condition. That's a mistake you make based on your condition.
Yeah, I think Jaylen's going to win a lot.
That's really dumb.
Which is why he's not a Seahawk anymore.
Which was dumber, really, when Jeremy Lane did that or when they asked him why he was protesting the national anthem and he couldn't answer?
He couldn't give an answer. He was like, I support Kaepernick. What are you standing for? Kaepernick.
I don't know. I'm not really sure.
What are you
kneeling
for? Kaepernick.
I'm still going to say the roof is stupider. Stupider than Jeremy Lane.
Which is dumber, not having a roof in Minnesota or trying to answer a question through a coughing fit?
Oh, who would do that? I've never heard that. What do you mean? Like, why would that happen?
What weapon do you think that you would be using?
A role play group?
John, we're going to let you go. John, you got to go. Go get some water. That's enough. Brock, which was
a role play group,
which is stupider. It's definitely the roof.
It's definitely the roof.
Side note to that question: which is stupider, not having a roof in Minnesota, or cutting John off and not letting that hilarity ensue for another, I don't know, 10-15 seconds? That's on me. I was trying to be nice.
I don't know what could have come up next.
I've wrestled with that. The demons of having done that ever since.
Which is dumber, not having a roof in Minnesota or starting Gordon Beckham at second base when you have a gold glove second baseman in center field?
Howdy. Go away. That's just mean.
Which is dumber, not having a roof in Minnesota or letting the Oakland A's owner keep the team despite having a dilapidated stadium and pocketing revenue for decades while revenue in the sport grows exponentially?
That's a tight one.
He bought that team for $180 million in like 2005.
Yeah.
It's worth $1 billion now, and they still won't sell the team.
Nope.
They're going to move that thing, though, right?
They're going to have to.
They're going to move to Portland or to Vancouver or something like that.
Good job, by the way, Sanjay. Two for two, man. Good job.
On what?
On just this. I like this.
Oh, you like this?
I do like this.
Oh, good.
What was this last week? What did we call it?
Which is better?
Which is
better? We're
going
to do that on Wednesday. We'll do that tomorrow. Which is better again?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fun.
I got some more which is better arguments for you. I can confirm Musburger 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Musburger. Talk some gambling with us. All right, so there you go. Things that are dumber than not building a roof in Minnesota, by the way, is super dumb.
You find that Jay Lane sound yet, Kyle?
Kyle's furiously digging for us. It's too bad. It is really silly.
We almost have it. It's like right on the tip.
Jeremy Lane.
Text message. Dang, I even knew it was coming, and that Clayton sound still made me spit out my water. No, that's true. Salk, how can you get stupider than driving high?
Role play group?
All right, here's Jeremy Lane in the back of the
nice.
Car.
You know, DUI, drive under the influence. And drive under the influence promotes you thinking I was drunk. And this time I was more high than if anything.
The underrated part is that he says this time.
This time.
This time I was more high than anything.
Yeah, this time I was more high. I'm drunk. I'm not really drunk. Well, Brent Musburger's going to join.
More high than if anything.
Brent Musburger's going to join us tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Why? Because there's going to be a lot more sports betting going on in this country. Will it be happening here in Washington? That question and more next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
I hope you guys enjoyed Which is Stupider. That was fun.
You know, I got another.
Did you answer any of the questions?
I answered every single one of them.
Did you? Or did you just giggle?
I answered every, well, not maybe not every.
Can I get a ruling from the other room?
I said Jay Lane. I said Big Baller Brand. All right. Can you remember the five things that Howdy did?
No. Okay. Come on. This is not a memory
By the way, I also went in there and I said to Howdy, I said, you know what we got to do? We got to have Salk during the course of the show. Go back there. And everybody loves mean tweets. You need to read like the five meanest texts in your voice.
So many.
Oh, my gosh.
Every day.
I know.
It's just nonstop.
Great morale.
There are nonstop mean tweets. All right, what do we got? What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Sports betting won't be legalized in Washington State for at the very least a year, but probably much longer.
I think that's good news. I think the state needs to sort this matter out. I know, I think Roz said this yesterday, and Bob Gross and Tom, that anytime things become political in this state, there's a lot of parties that get involved. It's pretty darn diverse. I think it's going to take some time, and I think our tribes are going to play a major role in this. In all of the tribal casinos that we have seen, many of them flourishing, I think they're going to protect their brand, protect their casino, protect their rights, as they should. So I don't think we're going to see it anytime soon, unlike West Virginia, New Jersey, Mississippi, that has just been lined up with their legislation to hit the ground running.
I think this is going to be no news for a while here in Washington. And it's the gambling one is an interesting topic because it does not go down strict party lines. It's not a Democrat and Republican issue. You can make conservative and liberal arguments both in favor and against gambling and sports gambling like this. But I think there's a lot of belief that because Washington is generally a liberal state, that gambling will come here and that that's a liberal point of view. And I would say, yeah, I don't know about that. In terms of some of the ability to allow people to sin in that regard, if you want to use the, you know, quote, sin, I would say yes. On the other hand, you know, we mentioned this earlier, there will be money that will flow from generally people that can't afford it to generally people who don't need it. And I don't know whether that will fly in Washington with the legislature. So we'll wait and see how this works. But I would bet that this takes a while to happen here in Washington.
Take that bet.
Thanks.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Klay Thompson scored 28 points, and the Warriors won Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals.
I thought he went to another team.
They await the Cavs in the NBA Finals.
I thought he went to another team.
Knock it off.
I'm not joking. I thought the whole thing was that he went to another team. Klay Thompson's still on the Warriors?
No, that's going to happen next year.
Oh, you think he had Trey Thompson?
I don't know who that is. I thought Klay Thompson was on another team.
No, that's going to happen next year.
Oh, my bad.
It's been talked about all year because there aren't any storylines.
I guess no news.
Trey Thompson, the Mariners have faced twice this year on two different teams.
No news.
Good news. I'm rooting for the Warriors. Unbelievable energy. That arena was off the charts. I can't wait for the NHL and NBA to come back here. There is nothing as communal as some of these playoff games for everybody. It was awesome. It was an incredible scene. Great news. Great game. By the way, I get so mad at you two.
No news.
Why?
Enjoying that game last night. I'm just thinking of Howdy's stupid voice with this stuff. And and you not even knowing Clay plays for Golden State.
I knew he did. I thought he was going to leave.
You're in this profession. That's embarrassing. Be a pro.
I don't want to.
The Mariners placed Robinson Cano on the 10-day disabled list, called up Gordon Beckham.
That is no news. That was anticipated news. The real news is going to come some point today. He's in Philadelphia, I bet by now, has met with the specialist, and at some point we're going to get some breaking news. I really hope it's not a matter from the Mariners that it's, well, going to be 8 to 12 weeks, going to be surgery, going to be a plate. It was a really bad break. I'm going to hope that he doesn't need surgery. I'm going to hope that this can be a 4 to 6 week healer, and he's back before the All-Star break.
That would be good news if you find out it's only 4 weeks, I'll tell you that much. We'll wait and see. You're right, though. I mean, going on the DL, that was yesterday's news, even though, you know, it finally happened yesterday afternoon. The real news comes when he sees the specialist, so I'm with you 100% on that.
You ever seen a specialist?
Have I?
Outside of your hand, obviously, the specialist and the 10 surgery and everything else. Outside of that,
yes.
Have you ever had any other injuries?
Yeah, with my neck and stuff, yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Good news, bad news, no news.
I saw a specialist in Philadelphia, a sports hernia specialist.
Oh, that's the guy. That's who everyone sees from.
Oh, yes. Wow. You went and saw him?
I went and saw him.
That's the expert.
Yeah. Felt like a pretty big deal.
Really?
No.
No. It's too bad.
Sometimes those specialists, I'll never forget one story from one Seahawk that will remain unnamed with a certain specialist in orthopedics that will remain unnamed on a national level. And the orthopedic's like, well, what do you want to do? You want to play in the preseason? He's like, bro, I came all the way here. You're the specialist. You're supposed to tell me. I know, but do you want to play in the preseason or not? Okay, next.
30 for 30 Films and Netflix are partnering on a multi-part 10-hour documentary about Michael Jordan.
I got to tell you, that's no news to me. Anything that takes that long is not up my alley. And it has nothing to do with Michael Jordan or anything else. But if it's 10 hours, I can't fathom having that time in my life. And I'm not trying to pull a John Clayton. I have time to do things I really want to do.
Yes.
But I can't imagine caring enough about one person's story to spend 10 hours watching it.
You do have enough time, though. Right?
Not that I choose to dedicate. Correct. As I just said,
if you wanted,
for things that are important to me, absolutely.
On
I can make time in my life.
Yes.
I can't fathom having enough of it, though, that this would reach the level that I would need to watch
what
10 hours.
What was O.J.? So they had so much success with O.J., right? Won a Oscar, right? That production, was that more than 10 hours or darn near close to it?
Ooh, that's
pretty close to it. So Michael Jordan, with all the storylines through all the years, the baseball, the dad, the gambling, you know, with all the footage, I think that's great news. 30 for 30 does an amazing job. So I find that to be great news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will call all 13 Thursday night football games.
Bad news, boycott. Boycott!
Petition!
Petition! Petition! Petition! We said it was going to be rock opera day and that we'd get a chance to do some singing.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Petition!
Petition!
Petition! Petition!
Petition!
Petition! Petition! Petition! You got a petition. Petition, Joe Buck.
What are we even doing here?
We're petitioning.
Okay.
Petition. Joe Buck is biased.
I think that's good news.
But they're improving the schedule, the game slate.
Yeah,
they're,
they are.
They're
I'm going to say
Kyle. He's biased.
Hey, they ain't stepping into CenturyLink Field. We'll
bias! Petition! Petition! Joe Buck is so biased. I've never met anyone so biased.
You're such a fool.
Brock, he's so biased. Don't you know how biased he is?
Don't you know that people tune in right now?
Petition! Petition!
People only tune in for 3 or 4 minutes sometimes.
Well, if they tune in today, they get to hear me yelling, petition! Petition!
And they think that you think that Joe Buck is biased.
He's biased.
He's so much biased.
He's so biased. Never.
But as his Twitter bio says, and we've read this before, yes. I love all teams except yours.
That's true. And he's biased.
I think that's good news.
We 100% need to petition all this. All right. I love Joe Buck. When do we get him on the show?
You tell me.
Anytime. You know, you don't need a reason to get Joe Buck on. Get him on next week. Okay. I love talking to Joe Buck.
Let's do it.
He's one of my favorite guests on this show. You can talk about anything with him. Any of those guys.
You know who
Buck,
I love
Tirico,
to?
All those guys. You talk about anything with them. They're awesome.
I love talking to the Graz. And when he filled in for you, I believe it was one of our highest rated days
that
we've had in a long time.
Why wouldn't it be?
And I want his best gambling
story. All right,
story.
The Graz and Jim Moore in one gambling roundtable together next. Petition! Petition!